devate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, Text 47. Jano,
Jano,
Buddho,
Buddho,
Yam,
Nija,
Karma,
Bandhana,
Sukhechaya,
Karma,
Samihate,
Sukha,
Ya, Sevaya,
Ta,
Vidunoti,
Asa,
Mati,
Granti,
Sa, Bindya, Dridaya,
Sa,
No,
Guru.
Jano Buddho Yam Nija Karma Bandhana.
Jano Buddho Yam Nija Karma Bandhana.
Sukhechaya Karma Samihate Sukham.
Sukhechaya Karma Samihate Sukham.
Yat Sevaya Tam Vidunotya Sanmatim. Grantim Sabindhya Dridayam Sano Guru.
Grantim Sabindhya Dridayam
Sano Guru. Jano Buddho Yam Nija Karma Bandhana.
Jano Buddho Yam Nija Karma Bandhana.
Sukhechaya Karma Samihate Sukham.
Sukhechaya Karma Samihate Sukham.
Yat Sevaya Tam Vidunotya Sanmatim.
Yat Sevaya Tam Vidunotya Sanmatim.
Grantim Sabindhya Dridayam Sano Guru.
Grantim Sabindhya Dridayam Sano Guru.
Jano Buddho Yam Nija Karma Bandhana.
Jano Buddho Yam Nija Karma Bandhana.
Sukhechaya Karma Samihate Sukham.
Sukhechaya Karma Samihate Sukham.
Yat Sevaya Tam Vidunotya Sanmati.
Yat Sevaya Tam Vidunotya Sanmati.
Grantim Sabindhya Dridayam Sano Guru.
Grantim Sabindhya Dridayam Sano Guru.
The conditioned soul,
the conditioned soul,
subjected to birth and death,
subjected to birth and death,
abodha, most foolish,
most foolish,
because of accepting the body as the self,
because of accepting the body as the self.
I am
he.
Nija Karma Bandhana. Accepting different bodily forms.
Accepting different bodily forms.
As a result of his sinful activities.
As a result of his sinful activities.
Sukhaichaya.
Sukhaichaya.
Desiring to be happy within this material world.
Desiring to be happy within this material world.
Karma.
Karma.
Fruit of activities.
Fruit of activities.
Samihate.
Samihate.
Plans.
Plans.
Asuka.
Asuka.
But it is for distress only.
But it is for distress only.
Yat Sevaya.
Sevaya.
By rendering service unto whom?
by rendering service unto all.
Ta, the entanglement of karma.
The entanglement of karma.
Vidunoti.
Clears up.
Asatmatir. The unclean mentality. Accepting the body as the self. Granting.
Hard not.
His Lordship. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bindyat.
Being cut off.
Hridaya. In the core of the heart. Sa.
The Lord.
Na. Our Guru. The Supreme Spiritual Master. Translation. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. For material happiness, the conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities, which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be in avidya or ignorance. Because of a false hope for happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here, Maharaj Satyavrata prays that the Lord sever this hard knot of false happiness and thus become his Supreme Spiritual Master. Janobudu yam nija karma bandana sukechaya karma samihite sukam yat sevaya tam vidunotya san matim grantim sabindya dridayam sano guru. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirna Vishesha Shunyavadi Bastya Chyade Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maharaj Satyavrata is continuing his prayers to the Lord, and to some degree the theme is the same or similar. Yes, the basic theme is extremely important one, that conditioned souls, they maintain this hope for finding happiness in the material world. But they are maintaining this hope despite the fact that it is quite obviously hoping against hope, means that you should be able to see that there is no real hope. You should be able to see that actually, inevitably, the results of all these attempts, all your attempts, are just going to lead to failure and increase distress and even catastrophe. You should be able to, but you can't. And this is the problem. This is the problem. And particularly for the devotees, this is one of the problems which really holds them back in their Krishna consciousness. That even though they know so much, even though they've read so many of the books, or all the books even, and even though they may have read them a number of times, and even though they've heard all these things, even though they themselves may have given classes specifically just appealing to the audience to not do like this, but sometimes they do. Yes, sometimes the devotees lapse back into thinking that actually material life could give me pleasure. I just have to find the right ways. Just before. So anyway, this is the situation. This is the situation within this world. And it is just a very serious problem for the non-devotees. It's practically insurmountable. It's an amazing problem. And the vast majority of them cannot see it at all. But even for the devotees who should know better and who do know better, but still sometimes these things come up, and the devotees maintain some sort of optimism about material existence, despite everything. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna puts it very nicely in chapter 2, verse 52. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. So the point is the Buddha, the intelligent person. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So this is just such an important point, and really such an important point. If we can get this point and fulfill this point and really come to that standard and maintain that standard despite the challenges, well, we are just on our ways back to Godhead. Basically, at least the obstacles, the blockages, and the different traps and unpleasant distractions and detours and so on, which may be there along the road, if we get this point, they're basically nullified. and they really basically can't hurt you. And all you do is to just, all you need to do from that point is just chant Hare Krishna, render devotional service, and in very simple terms, follow the process of Krishna consciousness, and you will just go down the path back to Godhead. But despite that, these things nag at the devotees. They do. They nag. Even at the devotees who know better, who actually know better. So we have to give our, well, compliments or express our appreciation or something like that. Certainly we have to recognize clearly that Maya Devi, who is a servant of the Supreme Lord, that she in her service, she is irrevocably persistent. She doesn't take a holiday. Oh. She is fully on the job. Fully. 24 hours a day. And the only way to deal with it successfully and really go beyond all of this is to come to the same platform. There's no other way. If you remain sort of half-hearted, quarter-hearted, three-quarter-hearted, even 90% hearted, but you still maintain that tendency to sometimes glance at the material world with an optimistic type of attitude that, you know, I could find, I'm sure there is some possibility for my enjoyment, then, well, you can't do it. Can't really do it. Maya's just got the upper hand, and her upper hand, she's very powerful and just relentless, completely unswerving. Sometimes it's said, Prabhupada says in some places, Maya has no morality. She knocks you down. And according to like the Vedic principles, when one warrior knocks another warrior down, he's meant to step back and let the warrior stand up again and then continue on an even footing with their contest, with their fight. Maya doesn't do that. She knocks you down. She immediately just jumps in on top of you and starts pummeling you. And you can cry for mercy as much as you like, but she just isn't interested. Generally it works like this. It's amazing. So there are many things which are amazing in this material world. And, you know, in Mahabharata there's that incident where Maharaj Yudhisthira, all the Pandavas are in the forest and they all go off to find water. No one returns and Maharaj Yudhisthira is the last one and he goes and he finds their dead bodies next to a very pleasant looking lake. So they were going looking for water. They didn't return. So he finds them there in front of this beautiful lake. Shishi Natai Maya Bhachandra Ki Jai. And he wonders what's going on and he's about to take some water because That was the problem. They didn't have water and they were really feeling that lack. So they went off to find water. So anyway, he then thought, well, let me just take some water first before I go into this matter further. But then a voice came, disembodied voice. Don't take any water, otherwise you'll end up like your brothers. If you want to have water, what you have to do is, first you have to answer some questions. It appears that the other Pandavas, they didn't bother to try to answer the questions. They just tried to drink water. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was the most intelligent, he was really exceptionally intelligent. So he agreed, all right. And there were a number of questions, actually. A number of questions. Kind of tricky questions. He answered them all. But then there was one very famous question, which is very relevant, at least in principle, it's very relevant here. What is the most amazing thing? So Maharaj Yudhisthira gave the right answer. The most amazing thing is that I have seen my grandparents, my ancestors, predecessors die. And maybe even I've seen my own parents die. But I think that I will not die. And I live like that. This is the most amazing thing. And that voice agreed, yes, that's the correct answer. And so then he brought the other Pandavas back to life and then revealed who he was. He was Yamaraj, who is the Lord in the material world. He is the Lord and Master of what is right and what is wrong. Yeah. He's overseeing all the laws of karma. And seeing everyone gets precisely what they deserve. So the principle is the same. It's very amazing that in this world, then relatives and others pass away. And then even your own parents, your grandparents, when I was a child, one of my great grandmothers was living. She lived to 99. Then she died. And then my grandparents died. I was, I think, about 19 or something like that. So they both died. Then one of my aunts died. Then a few of my friends or associates died. We've all experienced this. Who has not? Only just the smallest child has not had the opportunity yet. But in due course, it just comes and comes and comes. All these people die. But still, the conditioned soul is not accepting or understanding that I will also die, and therefore I should do something about it in the meantime. This is very amazing, and it's just completely related to the point here. It's so obvious people are dying. It's just so obvious. But people somehow cannot accept it and really work with it. Their approach is simply ignore it and effectively live in such a way that you just don't worry about it. That's it. That's it. As if it doesn't matter. And almost like as if, at best. The thing is, you know you're going to die, and so in the meantime, you just better enjoy as much as possible. Because, well, you know, at least you'll enjoy in the meantime. So, yeah, but otherwise, they don't really think about it. I actually remember as a young person, teenager, late teens, I was one of the people who would actually think about things and worry about what is life and what should be done. And sometimes I tried to discuss it with my friends, and I remember once trying to discuss death, and this close, very close friend of mine just basically dismissed the whole subject. What do you want to talk about that for? And just refused to discuss it. Yeah. But it's so obvious. And it so obviously affects a person's life. So surely some attention should be given to it. Rather than like the ostrich, when danger comes, stick your head in the hole in the ground and just make like it's not there. It's just, as they say, where ignorance is bliss, it is folly to be wise. Of course, it can never be folly to be wise if you're actually wise. It can never be. It's wise to be wise. But when ignorance is bliss, it's just, oh, happy days. Although actually it's just ignorance and foolishness, then why be wise? It is stupid to be wise. Doesn't make sense, does it? Because it's not sense. So this is the same point. And just as people should understand that death is coming, inevitably, and something should be done about it. Similarly, people should understand that despite all the efforts for happiness, happiness is not coming. The evidence is there. Some of us were brought up through the hippie period where everything was officially, the policy was love and peace. It was the official stand that just love everyone, be peaceful and be happy, and if it feels good, do it. But the whole hippie movement, apart from a few leftover people somewhere, the whole hippie movement collapsed, and didn't just collapse, but got became degraded, became very degraded. And basically, at least 90% of the members went back to being ordinary people and doing exactly the same things they were rebelling against. It's amazing. So the evidence is there. The evidence is there that, like in the hippie days, one of the main things was illicit sex. People have been so restricted from this in the past, and as a result they haven't been happy, and actually they've been a little neurotic and disturbed. So we should just engage in illicit sex life, so-called love. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Yes. Famous song from those days. It's philosophical. It's deeply philosophical in a very shallow type of way. But it is. It's philosophy. It's philosophy. So, but then from that has come AIDS. From from that has come AIDS, which is such a scourge, it's amazing. And it simply elicits sex life. It's just illicit sex life, really. So, but the people, rather than see, they think, well, let us find some way of dealing with it, and, you know, very cleverly avoid the problem and carry on with the whatever enjoyment is there. So people should see. They should see. The opportunity is there. The evidence is there. But just like, I don't know if you know the story of Admiral Nelson, the Battle of Trafalgar. You didn't study British history. Oh, yes. So, you know, you really didn't miss a lot. But Nelson is famous. He only had one eye. And which he would wear a patch over. And they, you know, their small British fleet was out there in the sea, and the Spanish Armada came. And actually Nelson wanted to fight them, but the Spanish Armada was much bigger. And there was really, you know, according to the law of averages, there was no real chance of defeating them, but still Nelson wanted to give it a go. And so someone told him, look, there comes the Spanish Armada. In other words, let's get out of here. And Nelson picked up his telescope, and put it on his blind eye, his patch, and said, I don't see them. And in other words, just carried on straight towards them because he wanted to fight them. And he won, actually. So, you know, so much for that. But people in material life, it's practically like that. It's obvious. But they're saying, I don't see. You know, close your eyes. What problem? I don't see any problem. This is what's going on. More or less. Not exactly. Because you do need some intelligence and you do need some sincerity to see these things. But really they should see. Any reasonable person would actually see. And would also see or understand that we really have to do something about these things. But they don't. So this is material life. This is material life. And who could be surprised that it doesn't work? That people do not achieve what they want to achieve? Like, you know, Nelson Mandela passed away a week or so or two or whatever it is ago. Few weeks ago, and big celebrations that, you know, he achieved so much, and actually around the world, just massive acknowledgement that he achieved so much. But what he achieved is the South Africa of today. That's what he achieved. And, you know, it has one of the highest crime rates in the world. The level of violence is extremely high. You know, child rape is, I don't know, maybe we just didn't know about it before, but from what we hear, even from government figures, it's like, you know, it's extremely high. And these are just shocking things. And this is actually what Nelson Mandela achieved. Yeah. You know, Gandhi is glorified in India more than anyone else. But he didn't achieve anything. You know, he helped get rid of the British. But his whole plan of what we should do how India should develop, it never even started. It never started. But just it was, you know, very sort of somewhat Vedic idea. But he never got into power, and the man who did just went down the Western path. So, yes, but they glorify him. But all they can really say about Mahatma Gandhi is that his picture is on their money. And that's all they can say about Nelson Mandela. His picture is on the money. Other than that, you know, really he failed to achieve much. And it's getting worse and worse. And will continue to. Because there was no attempt to really address the inner, the cause of the problem. Yes. Narada Muni is speaking to Nalakuva and Manigriva in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They had been very blatantly rude in front of him by just appearing naked and just being very frivolous and degraded in front of a saintly person. So he cursed them to correct them. He cursed them. And in the process of correcting them, he explained that the way you're acting, it shows that you think you are your bodies and that bodily satisfaction is what life is about. Yeah, and you are your bodies. And Narada Muni says, actually, you think you are your bodies or your bodies belong to you? But analyze a little bit. When you're a child, your body belongs to your parents. Because even legally, if you decide you want to go off and do your own thing, your parents can stop you. So, when you're a child, your body belongs to your parents. Then, as you grow up, as you become an adult, your body belongs to your employer. And when you're not working, your body belongs to your family. And in due course, the body dies, and then it belongs to either the fire or it belongs to the worms. You know, if a body is buried, then it's just a donation to the worms. Or maybe it's in some cultures they just throw the body away and then the animals come and they eat the body. So Narada Muni tells them that, or tells them that it is so obvious that these bodies do not belong to us, and therefore we have no right to just use them for sense gratification as we like. It's so obvious, Narada Muni says, that if you can't see it, you must be a rascal. Meaning, it really means that you do see it, but you just choose not to see it. You know, the famous story of the man with the scissors, how to cut something, what was it?
Scissors and knife,
wasn't it? Anyway, cut something, either with scissors or something else. And they got so into it that these two men arguing how to cut something, they said, you know, let's make a test and whoever loses must drown themselves. Yes. So the scissors man lost and he just threw himself in the river and drowned himself. as he was going down, his hand came up and went scissors. So that's a rascal. Prabhupada gives an example of a rascal. Man is sitting on a branch of a tree and he's sawing through the branch in between himself and the trunk of the tree. And another man comes by and says, "Hey, don't do that." And the man sawing tells him, "Just go away, mind your own business." And then he's sawing and then crash, down he comes, bang. And he asked the man who had warned him, "How did you know that was going to happen?" So Prabhupada doesn't say that this is like ignorance. Prabhupada says it's rascal, because it's obvious. It's not just a matter of ignorance that, "Oh, gee whiz, I didn't know." Because it's so obvious that you must see, and if you don't, or you say you don't, it's not ignorance, you're just a rascal. It's just dishonesty and, you know, bad character. Yes. So really this is the situation in the material world. It's so obvious. You know, parents have children, and sometimes we are forced to observe how difficult it is to deal with children, and even in many situations how it's not possible, and how the parents struggle and suffer so much to bring up their children and deal with all the crises and all, you know, all the unreasonableness. And it's amazing, you know, seeing how the children dominate their parents. It's amazing. You know, you've got this child. The child has no brain. Just no brain to see what's better, what's not so good, what should be done, what isn't, what it's not a good idea to do. No brain, but simply desire with some idea that something feels good or may feel good, and insisting and insisting. Anyway, such is life. But yes, this is the thing, that if someone, that it's so obvious that material life is full of suffering, people should see it. They really should. It's understandable in a sense that the non-devotees don't see it because of their condition of bewilderment and deeply entrenched material perspectives on life. But at least the devotees, they really should see it. How the promise of material enjoyment, which the material world seems to be offering, how it's not true. It's not true. But rather, if one pursues that, it will make your life bad and hurt you. But actually, on the other hand, you should just, if you just absorb yourself in devotional service, then you'll really be happy. At least the devotees should see this. I mean, you know, full facility at least is there for seeing it when you're a devotee. So much information again and again and again and again. And with your eyes, with this information, with your eyes, gradually you come to see it more and more. But still, sometimes a devotee contemplates some material enjoyment, which means that actually, at least for the time being, I don't believe Krishna consciousness. For the time being, I don't accept it. For the time being, I accept the basic idea of material life, that this is how I'm going to become happy, and therefore I'm contemplating it. Even just contemplating it, what to speak of actually, you know, falling into some actual sinful activity. But even just contemplating it within the mind, it means on the level of our intelligence, we are choosing to reject Krishna consciousness, at least for the time being. Because we feel that, this is nice. And maybe we feel that, well, after a while I'll stop contemplating it and get back into Krishna consciousness, because I am a devotee after all. But really, to progress means that we have to really understand this, realize it, see it, and apply it steadfastly in our lives, and remain fully engaged in devotional service, and don't allow ourselves to just lapse off even into just some material contemplation. Yeah. So, you know, I think we can say that we all know it's a lot easier said than done. It's a lot easier. It's extremely easy to say. It's not easy to do. So, actually, what we need to help us is we need some mercy. To get some Shakti, we need some mercy. And this is what Maharaj Satyavrata is praying for here. Here, Maharaj Satyavrata prays that the Lord sever this hard knot of false happiness. And in this way, well, Prabhupada says, become his supreme spiritual master. Become that guiding light, that anchor that the devotee can just fasten onto. And through being so nicely connected like that, be protected from the unfortunate situations of material life. So it's very nice, very important, extremely important. And we should also try to pray like that. Please, Krishna, I have this hard knot, grantim, the word is used in the verse, this hard knot in my heart. And I know what I should do, and I know what I shouldn't do, but sometimes I become confused. Please help me cut that knot so it goes beyond just some philosophical or theoretical idea, and it all becomes solid realization and just the real foundation in my life. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes.
We see that actually in reality a lot of devotees actually have this problem, suffer from this problem to some extent. A lot of devotees,
yeah,
actually.
Sure.
So I want to offer another perspective, if I may, okay. Maybe you'll comment. Because even Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, you're reading 252 now. In 259, Krishna actually says that it's only possible if you actually have the higher taste. And Prabhupada says that in the first line of purport. And you can't actually give up sense gratification unless you get the higher taste. But the problem is, to get the higher taste, you've got to substantially remove anattas from the heart. So, as devotees, that probably is our greatest problem, anatta nivritti, to actually practice properly so that the anatta is removed, so we get that taste, so we can maintain. So a lot of times devotees find themselves in between two worlds.
Sure.
You know, we haven't really got the higher taste, and, you know, since we're driven by the desire to enjoy, it's the nature of the spirit soul, we end up sometimes going after the material taste because we haven't got the spiritual. Can you comment?
Well, yes. Like Maharaj Satyavrata here, he's praying, help me, please help me, cut the knot. I can't do it myself. Yeah? So we have to pray and try. And if we pray and try and really take shelter, then mercy will come. Then you might say, well, look, you know, I've been praying and trying for...
Well, that's what I was going to say, actually.
40 years, you know.
We see often the devotees really get stuck in their spiritual lives and don't move forward.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because they stop praying and trying so much. Yeah. Because even, it seems, even when you really pray and really try, it's not so easy. It's not like, oh, okay, I prayed and tried, so here I am now, everything's fine. But like we said, Maya Devi, she's a devotee, and her service is to test us and push us, and she's relentless, totally relentless. And unless we come to the, until we come to that point, we're going to have these problems. Simple. And, you know, every time that we do, we're going to get some boot. The royal order of the boot. Some boot in the head. And then, yeah, right, okay. Mustn't do that. So we've got to pray. We've got to try. And... yeah, we really got to try, because the knot is really a hard knot. You know, like you get, sometimes you get a Brahmin thread, and it's, you know, they do it up in a certain way, and you got to open it up, and it won't open, and it gets all, you know, entangled. Wow. Did you ever have to give up with one of them? So, you know, the thing is, we also, we've got to pray and try. But in the end, we have to actually come to the point where we actually just want to please Krishna. And not just because we know that, wow, you know, if I don't do this, it's just going to hurt. But we actually want to please Krishna because we actually want to please Him. So it's Krishna's program for bringing us to that point. And it really is, in many ways, the school of hard knocks. It's not just the school of hard knocks, but it's really got an element of the school of hard knocks in it. Yeah.
That really highlights the importance of the guru as well. To actually,
yeah.
To help us make those steps to come to the platform, actually.
That's right. Yeah. Madhavi Prabhu.
I was reading the... Prabhupada's letter to Gandhi, is saying, a letter from your unknown friend.
Right.
And he was saying how you were trying for this, of united India, but it's all been undone. You know, that you wanted Muslims and the Hindus to live together, and now the partitioning of the British have messed this all up. He was warning him that you must give up this politics, or you will meet. And I don't know, it was just a couple of weeks before Gandhi was shot or something.
It wasn't long before, yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.